every Sunday, that reminder that we cannot lord it over one another, saying, like, we are better than you or you're second rate. We all come seeking God's grace. Every Sunday we have His Word to guide us. That through God's Spirit and His Word, the church may be built up. We come really, truly, the reason is to listen to God's Word, to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to hear the good news that yes, our sins have been forgiven, that Christ has taken our place, that He has died for us and now lives as our King and our Lord. That is what makes us who we are, the church. Every Sunday at the end, God sends us on our way with His blessing. So every Sunday we may learn, like, yes, there is much to do. Where there is a calling and a salvation to work out, there are trials to face, there are devils to slay, but we go with that promise that God goes with us. That His face is upon us, that His blessing of grace and peace isn't just there to greet us as we come in. No, it's there to go along with us wherever we go. That is the effect of God's presence. It is a blessing. It calls us, it cleanses us, washes us, it sets us apart for service, and it then sends us out into the world. It builds us up. It transforms individually, but also as the church. As we listen to the same thing every week, together. As we all seek the same blessing and receive the same blessing. And then go out into the world, the same calling. We may even say that every Sunday, it's just the pattern of the gospel is laid out as we come to worship. Our need for our call, our need for cleansing, our need to be set apart for service and then sent out. And as it follows that pattern, it shapes us as the church, as gospel people. Don't think of a liturgy as, you know, strange rituals that we just do every week, but as the gospel being put into worship form so that we may follow its pattern. Admittedly, today there is a lot of skepticism towards worship, especially when it's done in this way, together, more formal. Because we live in a time when there is, we value independence, and we maybe have a bit of a suspicion of anything that's more organized and formal, as if it would be dead and dry. And maybe sometimes we have that same kind of thoughts when it comes to worship. And if we could just worship God in private devotion, or if we could worship Him while we go out in nature, then what is the role of this? To use an analogy, as one author put it, if I remember correctly, he said, you know, if you need to see a doctor, what are you going to do? Well, you may decide, okay, I'm going to go to Costco on a Saturday because there's lots of people there. And who knows, maybe there's also maybe a doctor there, and maybe it's even your doctor who may be there. And there may be a good chance that he shops there, and you could maybe find him in an aisle and say, hey, Dr. So-and-so, don't want to bother you, but I'm going to go ahead anyways. I just have a question about this and that. Who knows, it may actually work, and you may even get what you need. That's not how we usually go about looking for a doctor. No, you make an appointment. So you may go where you know the doctor will be. God has told us where He will be. He is where His people are gathered in worship. And it's that perspective, that thought that makes sense of so much of Scripture, so much of these Psalms, like Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful song. It exudes this high view of worship, saying, like, everyone should participate in it. Come, praise Him. Do it with joy. Do it with gladness. So consider also this morning, what is your view of worship? How high does it rank in the life, your life, but also in the life of the church? And isn't just it's not just about what you think about it, but what lives in your heart. Is there a desire to seek God's presence on Sunday with His people? Or are you always tempted to think that there is probably something that's more important that you should be doing? Or are you tempted to think that it's still just, it's always a little bit better to be able to do it on your own? The church comes into its own as it worships, as it goes through these gospel patterns, as it meets with the Lord who is the source of every blessing. Well, that's the one reason why corporate worship is where the church comes into our own. The second one is that it is because we gather together and we all have a role in worship. Peter says it so well. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. We are that royal priesthood. And you think about the priests in the Old Testament, and what did they do? Well, they worshiped, they served the people, and they led in worship. Peter's not talking about, you know, ministers are the ones who are the royal priesthood. We are. We are that royal priesthood. Each one of us. Which means that, you know, we may sometimes think of worship as like, here's the stage. This is where, you know, we expect to the leadership to come from, or the leading in worship, the service to come from. You know, minister, organist, pianist. That is, who knows, everyone's directed towards it. But this isn't the only stage, and definitely not the most important one. You're on the stage as well. You are. You are a priesthood. You are a priesthood, and therefore you also have a role in worship. It's why we sing together as a congregation. It's why we have those responses at the beginning, getting you to vocalize also what you believe as you come in. It's why you're maybe now listening, taking notes. This is why in a little bit you will also give, show your love in acts of kindness and generosity in the collection. It's all part of your worship. It's all about being a priesthood. And this is so important for us, because as we participate together, as we encourage one another, exhort one another, and we instruct one another, especially in the singing. Singing is never directed just to God. It's always also to one another. Think about what Colossians 3 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." And just consider those times when you have been struck by a brother or sister singing a certain hymn or singing a certain psalm. Because there you were. You know that they were going through a hard time. You're like, I don't know if they would be able to sing it. And yet there they were. They were in church and they were singing their hearts out. Or maybe they weren't. Maybe they're doing it with tears, but quietly. What does that do? If it isn't that which encourages, exhorts, and instructs. That may be a one-off case, but that is meant to be there all the time. Consider another example. You come to church, you have doubts. Can you really believe all that we believe? Can you really believe Scripture? Or maybe you come and you've had a rough week because so many people don't understand your faith. They may even make fun of it. But then you come to church and you hear young and old all confessing their faith with the Apostles' Creed. So that you know that whatever other people may think, you are not alone in what you believe. But even though you may have your doubts, There are many other people to lean on in those questions. And corporate prayer can have the same effect. The stage is also there in the pews. That may also be a dangerous thought because of its implications. Because it means that you are expected in church. As the body, we do count on you to be on the stage because you have a role in worship. So maybe we slip too much in a habit of thinking of worship as, you know, closer to watching a movie in a theater where, you know, you can just slip in, find your seat, watch the movie, then get out, and there's no obligations at all. And sure, that's fine there, because you're not an assembly, you're not a body, you're not a group of people. That's not what worship is like. Think more of it as a team sport, be it soccer, be it volleyball. Everyone has a role to play, and when you're missing, that spot needs to be filled by a sub or a choir, where, you know, everyone has their role, has their part to sing. So that when there's a performance, when there's a game, of course people are going to be counting on you to be there. You have a role to play, or a part to sing, or a position to play. So that's the thing about being part of something bigger. People count on you. And so it is also when you are a member in Christ Church. When we see that view of corporate worship, well, then we will encourage also one another to be present and appreciate the presence of everyone here. Because people are missed when they're not here. We may even have it during the summer months. You're a visitor here this morning, you're a guest, we love seeing you, new faces, and have you here. But it's still going to be different and looking around and seeing all familiar faces. And you may have the same thing, looking around in a strange church. It's part of the reality that God is shaping us into his body as we worship. And so encourage one another, because we also all need it. The reality is there's going to be Sundays where all of us at some point just don't feel like going. It's one of the last things maybe you want to do. That as much as you know the glory of worship, as much as you know its benefits and its importance, that you'll still be struggling to want to go. Because our worship here on earth continues to be done with sin and weaknesses. We have a sinful heart. The church is always a work in progress. Maybe make many aspects of church life difficult, including worship. Well, remember, that's also in those difficulties and in those struggles that God shapes us as his church. It reminds us that we need God's grace, that he so graciously gives us in Jesus Christ, because none of us do it perfectly. And then we can show each other also that grace as we come together in worship, encouraging one another and exhorting one another. So that everyone may know that as much as you may struggle to come with worship, you may think that the path of least resistance is just to bail, to not show up. Especially if you are convinced that no one will notice. We also know that gets a lot more difficult when you know that you'll be missed. And don't just do that negatively, be positive. Let us be full of encouragement and appreciation when we do get together. To admit that it's good to see one another. And also to see when seats are taken. And that's why I started with that introduction on, do you have your spot in church? It's maybe something that we can make fun of at times. Yes, it's just human habit. But it's also a little reflection of the fact that we all have a role and a spot in church. And then you're like, hey, we're missing there because there's a gap within our pews. Because worship is so important to us all. Worship is so important to the church. It's the main purpose of our lives. It is the lifeline of the church. It can only be the church if we are in God's presence regularly. To be so regular in worship as to have your own spot is a good thing when it reflects that commitment to praise God, to give him the glory, to be there in worship. We are Christ's church. so we worship him. Amen.